ABC Radio Australia.
Now, when New Zealanders go to the polls for their election next month, they'll also be voting in a referendum that's asking them to decide whether recreational cannabis or marijuana for personal use should be made legal. Now, medicinal cannabis is legal in New Zealand. However, it's not readily accessible or affordable, and it's still considered quite controversial by some people. But for Brad and Rachel Rapira, they say medicinal cannabis or CBD oil helped save their daughter's life. Ahurua Rapira was diagnosed with leukemia in May this year and is one of the first youngsters in New Zealand to be treated with medicinal cannabis alongside her chemotherapy treatments. Now, I spoke to Brad Rapira about his daughter, her treatment, and how he sees the legislation of recreational cannabis.
Anika, what are you doing?
Hello.
Kia ora.
Oh, who's that I can hear?
Yeah, that's our girl. She's sitting there, sitting on my lap. It's you. Yeah.
She sounds like, you know, just a normal everyday toddler. And considering the year that you've had, that must be such a reassuring sound to hear her so well and so chirpy.
Yeah, 100%. 100%. Yeah, so Ahurua, she's 2 years old. Yeah, beautiful little girl. Lovely temperament, very sassy. And strong and committed to her ways, which has been a real blessing. Funny, loving and caring. When we're up in the hospital, if any of the other babies or children who are in the ward would cry or seem upset, she would talk to us in Māori and tell us, you know, that baby's sore, and then she'll go to the staff room where there's like a letterbox they have there for kids just to grab lollipops out of, and she'd go and grab a lollipop and head to the room that she could hear someone crying and just tap on the door until someone come, and then she'd hand them the lollipop. So that's sort of Ahu in a nutshell.
She's already gone through in, you know, those 2 years more than most people will go through in their entire lifetimes. Brad, tell me about that day in May when you found out that your daughter had leukemia.
Yeah, as a parent, you are locked into a position of life or death, and the possibility of a time limit being set very early for your child. And for myself, yeah, your father's heart kicks in, and you just think about how do I protect her and how do I minimize her suffering. So they diagnosed her with acute myeloid megakaryoblastic leukemia. So it's a unicorn leukemia, meaning that 1 in 1.5 million. will get it, and the survival rate is 50%.
What did you think when you heard 50%, that it was a 50-50 chance that, you know, your daughter would survive?
Yeah, I coach people both emotionally and psychologically and physically, and so turning to all my training, I never gave it scope to sit in sort of that deep emotional distress, because I knew that is useless according to my both knowledge, practice and training that I sit in. And so I stayed in a very analytical space. The reality is we already know she's sick, so there's no need to waste any more time, energy or space on looking into the sickness. I'm going to look into the wellness of it.
What was really interesting about the decision that you made in terms of her therapy is that you also included cannabis therapy into your daughter's chemotherapy treatments. Why did you decide to go down this, you know, sometimes what is seen as quite a controversial treatment route?
Throughout my life, I've always looked for the alternative and always looked for possible ways to either get well, stay well, or be healthy. And so when we got diagnosed with the leukemia, we dug around a bit of research online and stuff, and we were convinced, I guess more so in our hearts, with medicinal cannabis. And then from there, we knew we had to do our work with regards to what does it do, how does it interact, and what are the health benefits of it. And once I got stuck into that, because I love research, so once I got stuck into that, It was a no-brainer for us that we were going forward. The hard part about it is understanding what's in your oil, who's made your oil, because in New Zealand it's very limited into what you can get, and not only limited, but still under the Misuse of Drugs Act over here, you're not allowed to advertise its availability. You know, so for us, it was not only research, but having to go and look for it and look for a specialist doctor. And then that came with the financial burdens of what it costs.
Anyway, did you feel criminal when you were doing all of this?
100% felt like a criminal. Like when I'd go and get the stuff, I'd have to meet them in the car park, hand over the cash, get a little brown bag and walk in. And that's ridiculous.
And so what was the effects of introducing medicinal cannabis to her therapy?
Most amazing. When we first met with them, they told us what her diagnosis was. And they says, you know, we'll do the 4 rounds of chemotherapy. If unsuccessful, we'll move into radiotherapy and possibly bone marrow transplant. And if unsuccessful, we'll look at stem cell transplant. And they were talking sort of 8 months to a year of treatment. So what happened is we came to terms with the reality of what was going on. And we got in touch with the doctor and we got the cannabis oil in. And so we started the cannabis oil 3 to 4 days prior to the chemotherapy starting, because we came to an arrangement with the hospital that we were going to use it. And after every day of chemo, they take her bloods and it gives you a record of her counts and cancerous cells and everything else. And what they showed us is that there was a slight decrease in the cancerous cells. And this is after one day. And so they said it's a good sign because the chemo has been effective for her. But the blessings for us came on day 3 when they showed us the blood samples and they says it's reading that there's zero cancer in her. And we just looked at each other. So since day 3 of chemo all the way to today, she's been cancer free. But what happened is they had to carry on with their protocols, which was to follow through with certain amounts of chemo treatment in order for them to be covered, I guess, legally with regards to being able to allow her to be let go. So for us, we really got deeply engaged with the doctors and we said, hey, listen, what's the chances of finishing her treatment after round 2, which is a series of chemo in each round? And they says their research shows that anybody stopping at round 2 has a high possibility of the cancer returning. And so we negotiated the space and we said, listen, if all tests are clear after round 3, then we're done and we're finished. And they agreed with us. We know, hand on heart, that the cannabis oil not only reduced the number of amounts of times she had to go through chemo, but she became in such a well space that the doctors even agreed to us and with us to remove a specific medicine from her protocol, which is unheard of.
The really interesting part of this is everything is interesting, to be honest, but it comes at a time where New Zealanders will vote in a referendum over whether to legalise recreational cannabis. I know that medicinal cannabis is very different to recreational cannabis, but has your experience changed the way that you see cannabis and cannabis use in New Zealand?
So there's a two-prong answer to that. Firstly, I think that the reality is that cannabis needs to be legalised in New Zealand because it's nothing that's been introduced. We got to get that straight. So the issue isn't that we're introducing a new drug and it could be this gateway drug to all this terror. The reality is it's already there. So that's the first prong. The second prong is, yes, medical cannabis is legal in New Zealand, but there's big issues around it. And the issues are doctors are reluctant to administer it, firstly. Then you got the cost. Then from there, you get what they call CBD oil. Now, people are afraid of the psychoactive compound of the THC. So the next part that you got to do is you got to understand, one, because it's on the black market, you can't exactly get it regulated to know if you've got a high THC, low CBD oil, or you've got a high CBD, low THC oil, or you've got a one-to-one mix. Not only does it cost a lot of money, but you've got to be diligent when using it. There is no regulation for testing over here. So when in remission or free from cancer, see, our girl, she will remain on cannabis oil. We've altered her protocol and the amount and everything now because we've been in touch with different specialists, but it'll go through her system for the next 5 years. No, we're not creating a drug-addicted baby because it's non-toxic. But what we are doing is creating preventative measures over the next 5 to 6 years to ensure that cancer will no longer be a part of her life. And so once her cells are fully rejuvenated and back into her body, we know that every cell was cancer-free.
That was Brad Rapira, father of Ahurua Rapira. And as you heard, Ahurua is now cancer-free, but as with all cancer remissions, we'll still have to wait a few years until she is fully given the all clear. And New Zealand's cannabis referendum is due to take place this year on October 17th, which is when Kiwis will also hold their national election.